Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges, and today's Thursday, so it's the day that, in our weekly daily rhythm that keeps us all in sync as a community, we try to apply and live out what we've been learning all week. This week, we're continuing our series on reset, how following Jesus resets various aspects of our lives, but in particular today, we're talking about how following Jesus resets our views of death. This is definitely something we need in our society, because I've heard a lot of strange things said at funerals. I've done a number. One of my first funerals ever, though, was a very sad one. It was for a child. And I remember planning the funeral with the mother and the father and the grandmother. And I remember the grandmother trying to console her daughter at one point and saying, "God needed another angel in heaven." And it was a tough moment for me because I was angered to hear those words because I knew they weren't true. And I knew that much as I wanted to just let it slide because the grandmother was just trying to help and just trying to say something nice and something hopeful, I knew that someday that daughter was going to wake up and say, "Wait a minute, God needed another angel, so he took my son?" That would be a moment filled with anger for her, and she'd probably want to turn away from God for having done such a terrible thing to her just because he selfishly wanted another angel. Well, the Bible says nowhere that human beings become angels. It's definitely not what happens. And the idea that God needed another angel was just something nice she was trying to say. There's no actual theological truth to it. There's no basis for it. And so I decided I was going to say something. Not because I wanted to squash what this grandmother was saying and how she was trying to help, but because I realized there was a better story. There was better news. It was a story about Jesus and how he had destroyed death's power, and that the things that happen in our world that lead to the premature death of a child like that are not things that God brought into the world, they're things we brought into the world. But Jesus has come to do something about it and is preparing to invite us into a world where that kind of thing never happens again. That was a better story. And so what I did is I told that story, and it actually brought hope to that young woman, rather than wondering why on earth God would be so terrible to her and take her child. I was trying to help them in their grief to hear a better story so they weren't listening to stories that weren't true or weren't helpful. This is kind of what Paul was doing to the Thessalonians. All around the Thessalonian Christians would have been seeing pagan funerals where the goal was basically to be as loud as possible to show how much a person was mourned. Some people even hired mourners, so there'd be as much screaming and wailing as possible at their funeral. What Paul wanted to do was encourage Christians to grieve a little differently, to grieve as people with hope. Just to remind you what we read on Tuesday, here's what he said. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Paul is wanting to give them the confidence and assurance that death is not something to fear and even to decry like the pagans at their funerals. Rather, he wants them to know that there's hope to be found in the death of a loved follower of Jesus. There is hope. This is a really important thing for followers of Jesus to remember, live out, and communicate. One person who follows Redeem the Commute, I was speaking to the other day. She's preparing for the death of a family member. And she was struggling to come up with the right words, but telling me that some of her other family members who are really upset, she said, "You know, it's different for me. It's different for me and you," talking to me because she knew I was a Christian. She said, "It's different for us." And she struggled to explain how it was different and how she could still feel sad yet have hope about the resurrection. And so as I listened to her, I came up with a bit of a summary, and I said, "You know what? I think what you're trying to say is that we're sad about the lost life, not sad about the death." And she said, "That's right. That's right. You've got it." She's sad that she's lost that family member, or will lose that family member. She's sad that they had life together and now they won't. But she's not sad about the death, because the death, she knows, is, as Paul described, kind of a sleep-like state where people are at rest, time passes in an instant, and where they awake in the kingdom of heaven if they've been followers of Jesus here on earth. Everything we do and say communicates something. And so when it comes to death, we want to try to communicate hope as much as possible. There are various ways people have done that. I told you the story of that friend, but there are traditions as well. I remember one member of a church that I once pastored who was absolutely adamant that he needed to be buried facing eastward, intact, not cremated. His reasoning, and the reasoning that Christians have done this for centuries and longer, it has been that they want to communicate something. Not that it's a hard and fast rule and God can't raise you if you're not whole and God won't raise you if you're not facing eastward, but rather because he wanted to communicate that he was ready for the resurrection. He wanted to be facing Jerusalem. He wanted to be intact, ready to go. Even though we know, of course, that the body will decay and so on, he wanted to make sure it was clear to everybody he knew what he was expecting and waiting for and anticipating. He was communicating something to his family and friends about death and resurrection. There are other ways to communicate that as well. We can communicate something about resurrection through the songs we pick for a funeral, the readings selected, who's going to speak, and so on. And that's part of our challenge for you to think about today. I want you to write down a few things for your own funeral. I know it's a strange thing to do and to be asked to do here on Redeem the Commute, but it's not a bad exercise. Who should be there? What do you hope they'll say? What songs do you hope they sing? Where do you hope it'll be? Do you want to be cremated or buried? Where? Think through those things and tell a loved one so somebody knows, because we often don't have these discussions until it's too late. And when you're not thinking about death, it's actually a great time to stop and do it, because you'll be able to think clearly. You won't be feeling rushed as people do when facing a serious illness or when a loved one isn't well. Have a great discussion. And don't forget, we're reading the Bible in sync as a community, so check our website or app to see what today's reading is. Have a great one. I'll see you tomorrow.